freedom. What do we think of about freedom?
I think I've subtitled today really is Freedom Through Conflict to Victory. And our reading from Galatians highlights how we can follow that path. What do we associate with freedom? Something like Nelson Mandela or Steve Biko with their battles for freedom in South Africa. For refugees, fleeing from persecution. Or going back a while, the Kinder Transport bringing Jewish children to England. For all of them, they were looking to move from imprisonment and persecution to liberty and peace. And is that not the same about our Christian freedom? Moving from imprisonment to the things of the world to liberty and peace under God's Spirit. In the early part of Galatians, Paul writes, Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. What are you free to do? What desires do we follow? Those of the world or those of the Spirit? Are we able to do what we like? Certainly in the early church, there were those who felt that because the Spirit was so important, that actually the things of the flesh were unimportant and you could do what you liked. It didn't matter. And this grew into what's known as Gnosticism and dualism, where flesh is evil and the Spirit is good. But we know that actually all things are made for good and that we are all part of God's creation. And it's how we use the things of the world that determine the path we take. So it's a battle between our flesh, as Paul writes about it, which is our human nature, and the Spirit, which is our reborn nature. We are not free to be self-indulgent. The belief in self-modernism, which is where we live today, is that I can do what I like, provided it doesn't hurt anyone else. So we all do our own thing. The creed is self. That's not what God wants for us. It is not either for us to exploit others, as Paul writes, to bite and devour one another, to destroy the fellowship through selfish acts and fractured relationships. It is for loving service to the other, to walk in the light together, not in the darkness of the world. The freedom we have also is not to disregard the law, but rather to fulfill it through loving obedience to Christ. To follow the law, not because we have to, but because we want to. So perhaps to summarize Christian freedom, it's to serve God, obeying the law to honor Christ, to serve self by exercising self-control, and to serve our neighbor through loving service to each other. It's drawing us completely away from slavery to the world's desires. But we are not promised that the Christian life is an easy path to follow. There is inherent conflict between the desires of the flesh opposed by the desires of the Spirit. It's a battle that we know we fight day by day against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And what we have to be cautious about is not to compromise in that battle. It is very easy to take the first step of tolerating something that God doesn't like, to tolerate sin. And of course, the next step is to succumb and commit that sin oneself. As Luke writes in the Gospel, we need to look forward at the way the plough is going and not look back at the furrow that we have just made, because then we will deviate off the path that the Spirit is leading us on. And we are cautioned that if we look back, then we become unfit for the kingdom. So Paul's charge to us in the Galatians epistle today is to look forward to the direction that the Spirit is leading us. And that direction is to help us to follow our spiritual nature that has grown in us when we first believed, when the Spirit came into our lives. The challenge that we face today is that the desires of the world are completely opposed to the desires of the Spirit. And just briefly to summarize the spiritual battle that we all face in that long list that Paul writes, it's a battle against immoral behavior focused on the self, of our sexual being, of our religion, of our interaction in society, and the way that we use God's gifts, particularly with drink. All these things are there to tempt us and to draw us away from the way of the Spirit. And what Paul is encouraging us is to claim victory by the Holy Spirit that is in us. If you look at that passage from Galatians, there are several verses that talk of the way in that we are to be led by, to walk by, to live by the Spirit. And each of them, whilst translated in English in a sort of in a similar way, have a different emphasis. And in particular, in verse 25, we are taught here to march in line with the Spirit, to take that active step to follow the path he's leading us. And the challenge to us is to look at our life and practice, perhaps day by day, as we come to the end of our day, as we come to offer all that has happened in our day to God in prayer, to examine where we have been, what we have done, how the Spirit has worked in our lives. How to follow again, to march in line with the direction that the Spirit has pointed us. It might be we need to turn around and repent of what has happened. And we can achieve that through our prayer, through our reading of Scripture, through our conversations with other Christians. And we are called to this act of self-discipline, to learn more, to put not to put ourselves into temptation, but to ask for God's protection. And if we, as we examine ourselves and we allow the Spirit to grow, we will reap the harvest fruits of the Spirit. We may have to put a defensive fence around us of prayer, of reading, of Christian company, so that we can build up those fruits that will allow us to develop our relationship and our attitude to God through those fruits of love, joy, and peace. To one another, through those fruits of patience, kindness, and goodness. And through our attitude to ourselves and building up ourselves through faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You may have picked up that I've sensed over my reading during the summer, that early summer, that when we were away, about the importance of building up these relationships with God, with our neighbour, and within our fellowship. And the more we look at that, the more we need to follow that path that God is leading us to as we build up and harvest those gifts, those fruits of the Spirit. As the Spirit leads, we are called to actively follow. It's not a passive response. I don't know how well you know your Pilgrim's Progress. Does anybody recall what was the first obstacle that Christian faced on his journey? Did somebody say the Slough of Despond? Okay. It was that quagmire of indecision that he found himself in. Which way should I go? And we too often face that quagmire of indecision, and we need to call on the Spirit who is leading us, that we may
way that he wants us to go. Don't give up, but look to God for help and guidance. Help and guidance in how we're using our time, our talents and our treasures to honour the Spirit's leading in our lives. How are we responding to those opportunities to allow the fruit to grow in those relationships with God, with man, and with one another? And of course, it's that battle between the world, the flesh, and the devil that will keep fighting back. The Christian life can become very difficult, and we think and pray for our brothers and sisters around the world for whom to express their Christian faith is to put themselves in the way of persecution and imprisonment and worse. So perhaps it's easier to conform to the world's ways. But of course, that is not the right answer. We can expect spiritual conflict, but the battle is the Lord's, not ours. The chronicler writes, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, those that are fighting against us, for the battle is not yours, but God's." So where are we in our lives at the moment? What are the things that do indeed both excite you and inspire you on the one hand, but contribute to that conflict on the other with the concerns we have for the things in the world? What concerns us about what's happening in our society at the moment? And how are we turning that anxiety into prayer and action? So we may be frustrated at the lack of action by our political leaders. And how can we become involved? Yes, we can pray, but we can also act. And that may be part of what comes out of our conversation as we look today to see what is on our hearts for those things that we want to pursue and those things that we want to become.
Paul was speaking, I was reminded of an experience that is still very fresh in my own mind. 2 weeks ago I was in Hong Kong, and of course that was the time when up to a third of the population of the territory was out on the streets in protest. They have their struggle with their freedom, a freedom that they did enjoy for many, many years, and now they're beginning to feel that it is eroded. And what strikes me as interesting about what they were doing is, like every protest, there is a protest song. I don't know if you've noticed that the protest song that they were singing on the streets was "Sing Hallelujah to the Lord." And only about 10% of the population is Christian, and yet 25% or 30% of the people are on the streets singing "Sing Hallelujah to the Lord." A lovely indication that our Christian influence can sometimes go far beyond our own boundaries, our own borders. What we would like to do now, just briefly, before we move on with the rest of the service, is to invite you to take these thoughts into your own experience, and particularly our life as a church here in Ducklington. You have a card and a pen, and I'm going to ask you a question, which I'd like you to just very briefly, in a word or a sentence, to answer. And don't spend time thinking about it. Just spill out what first comes up, all right? It's not a really deep and profound question. I want you to just simply think for a moment and then write on the paper, what do you really like about Ducklington and the church? What do you value? What inspires you? What are you able to say thank you for about Ducklington and our church? Just a sentence, a few words that perhaps reflect that feeling that you might have. What do you like? What do you value? What do you appreciate? Just look up when you've done it, and I'll know that we can move on. These responses, incidentally, are anonymous, so we don't know who's saying what. That's fine. Are we ready to move on? All right. If you turn the card over, and on the back, I'd like you to answer this question. What do you, and quoting the Spice Girls, really, really want in our community and the church?
What would you like to see? What do you hope for? What are your concerns? What would you like our church and this community to be? Just, again, a quick sort of snapshot of maybe just one word. More love. Well, that's two, but you know what I mean. Or something that really is something interesting. It can be very specific, or it could be a much more general thing. What do you really, really want in this community and in our church? So on one side of the paper, what do you really, really like? And on the other side, what do you really, really want? What is stirring within you? What do you long for that perhaps you can give some expression to? Now, when you've done that, I'll just pass down through the church. I'd just like you to pass your cards to the end of the aisle, and then I can just collect them in this basket. And then after the break, we will gather together, and we're going to work with these answers. We're going to have a little exercise that will help us to respond individually to what is being said on these cards, and then a few moments to reflect on what we might understand by it. So if you'd like to just pass the cards to the end of the aisle, that would be lovely. Thank you very much. Right, so a prayer. Father, thank you for all that this church and this community means to us, some of which we've expressed on these cards. And we bring to you the questions and concerns, the worries and our hopes, as again we've shared them with one another on these cards. We pray that you'd guide us and bless our conversation around them as we continue to gather this morning in the name of Christ. Amen.